You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the Morning starts now.
It is Friday, June the 16th, 2017, and this is the Roto Experts in the Morning. Alongside Matt Modica, I am Greg Sussman. Night isn't quiet here tonight.
It is nice and quiet. I think the king is in exile. Hopefully he's not tied up in a Brooklyn basement somewhere.
Well, hopefully he is.
I mean, maybe he does like that.
He
is a freaky little guy. So
you can see that, right?
Maybe I don't want to picture that. How about that?
Scotty out on assignment once again today, given the Exclusive Edge package. We released it on Wednesday. I mean, I know he's working wire to wire, making sure it is absolutely perfect for you, the listener, the reader, and everything. Make sure you head on over to rotoexpert.com and purchase the Exclusive Edge package. Use free radio when you check out. Give it a couple of dollars off. It's well worth it. Updated every single day. It is absolutely well worth it. Matty, what's going on, man?
Friday morning, doing better than the Colorado Rockies last night.
Dude, we were just talking about that. I went to bed, and I started Jeff Hoffman because I asked you about it. I was like, can I start Jeff Hoffman at home in Colorado against the Giants? You're like, yeah, why not? They're up 9-1. I'm like, nice job, Matt Modica, feeling good. Hoffman pitches 5 innings. I was like, all right, let me give it one more for the quality start. I don't get there. It's the 7th inning. I think now it may be 9-3. I'm like, all right, he's out of the game. Fine. I'll go to bed. I'll get the win. No big deal. I wake up, I don't have a win. I'm like, how the hell don't I have a win? And they lose this game 10-9. I'm like, are you freaking kidding me?
That's life in Colorado. I mean, they would do. That bullpen's been so good this
season. Unbelievable.
It's really been a key to their success. So, you know, I mean, that's Holland's first blown save. So.
You know, it was actually crazy. You know, I was watching some baseball last night, and how much has changed. Like before, when I went to bed, like the Yankees were down 3-0, and all of a sudden they lose like 8-7 in extras. Like, what the hell happened? And then Gary Sanchez gets hurt, and Aaron Hicks gets hurt, and Adam Warren is hurt. And like, this isn't good.
Yeah, no, those are major blows for the Yankees, and this is a team that I'm not a fan of, but I'm believing in them, so hopefully it's just minor things for them.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, it looks like a groin injury, minor for Gary Sanchez, a minor Achilles injury for Aaron Hicks. I assume it's going to be one of those things. Hopefully, you take a couple of days off, you rest maybe the weekend off, you come back on Monday and you're all right.
I hope so. I mean, the Mets got blown up again. I was really hoping Gesellman. I was nervous about that start. I mean, the Nationals are pretty damn good. That home run that Bryce Harper hit, that was a laser beam. That thing just, like, you know, jumped out of the stadium.
You know, it's funny. We were in the control room yesterday, and Benny kept asking Mike Florio about Robert Gesellman. Like, what do you think about him? And he basically was like, is he going to get blown up or not? And Florio, like, wouldn't give him, like, the yes-no answer he was looking for. And then he got very frustrated, and the answer was yes, he was going to get blown up. Robert Gesellman, the New York Mets. Matt Harvey!
Hey, it goes from bad to worse.
But you know what? Speaking of thoracic outlet syndrome, you know who's back today, you know whose day it is. It's Tyson Day, baby! Talk some more baseball with Matty Modica here on the Roto Experts in the Morning Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Experts in the Morning hanging out here on a Friday, dude. You know, nobody. Here we just meet, you know, it's Mike Lyon and I. It's a battle of the champions, really.
Yeah, it really is.
Let's be honest here, people.
Mano y mano.
Mano y mano, how it should be. Mm-hmm. No noise here. We might have to get Florida to do a 20-question version of the show of his Mike Lyon and I to determine a real champion.
An experts edition,
indeed.
I like that.
We're hanging out here. It's Friday, and we're going to talk a little football in a few. But I wanted to get into baseball from last night. because it's just you and I, it's a little bit more internet, imminent rather. No, not imminent. Intimate. There we go. I knew the word I wanted to say. I just couldn't say it.
It is funny sometimes when you're on the air and this word's like, it's not coming out right, and you know it.
You know, it's funny. I was just telling Matt during the break, we were looking at apartments yesterday, and we were just talking about like certain buildings that you have to pay a broker's fee, certain buildings you don't pay a broker's fee, and my girlfriend's like very conscientious of this. And so we asked about like the fees you have to pay when you move in. There's like a $100 application fee. Fine, like we knew that. So she sits like the person that's showing us the apartment down, and she goes, you know, are there any erroneous fees? And the one's like, huh? She goes, are there any erroneous fees? Like, I have to ask, you know, I've been through this. And I go, I'm sorry, ma'am. I think she means miscellaneous fees. And she goes, yeah, that's the word I'm looking for. But it was like one of the same exact things. Yeah, imminent, yeah. Intimate, you know. She was trying. I want to start in Milwaukee with one of my favorite Targets, because I want to talk about Keon Broxton for a moment. We talk about like young players coming up and dominating, and more often than not, it doesn't happen. Lewis Brinson, it hasn't happened for yet. He's come up, hasn't really done all that much in the few games that he has played. But on the other side, the man that was very, very nervous about Lewis Brinson coming up, which was Keon Broxton, he's shown up as of late.
Competition brings out the best in us. I mean, time and time again,
it's real,
you see
man.
It. You see guys that are slumping or just having a bad year in general. When the job's on the line, you know, you kind of reach down a little deeper or whatever you want to say, you know, whatever, as Scott would say, whatever cliche you want to use.
but let's be honest with you, right? Like,
no, I definitely buy it. I mean, look, the thing with Brinson is we've gotten to the point now in fantasy, we've been spoiled these last few years. If you come up and you aren't an instant success,
yep.
We like write you off, we throw you away. Which isn't the right thing to do. This is a talented kid. I like the kid that's on the Astros that just got called.
Fisher. I'm so stupid. So in one league, I bid. I did everything. And the other league, the waivers ran the next day. And I didn't put anything in. I'm like, what the hell is wrong with me?
Yeah. But, I mean, everybody's going to look at Fisher and say, oh, he homered in his first game. This and that. Look, Derek Fisher is like their best hitting prospect. He's one of the top in baseball. And Brinson, if given the opportunity, I think is going to show you some power, some speed. It's a great ballpark to play in. I mean, it all comes down to the bottom line, I think, in that scenario, is when will Ryan Braun be healthy? Will Ryan Braun be healthy?
Sure.
Because if Ryan Braun's not healthy, then Lewis Brinson's going to get the playing time right now. So, it's interesting. I mean,
he didn't start yesterday. He did pinch hit and strike out. And, you know, there's a lot of, because of the versatility of all these guys on the Brewers, they don't necessarily have to play him every day, right? Like, you can put Hernan Perez in left field. We keep saying, and it's funny, we keep saying, all right, Perez is the guy that's going to lose time. Perez is the guy that's going to lose time. He plays every day.
Yeah, I mean, and even with Eric Sogard's amazing run that he's had.
Yes.
I mean, the Brewers are pretty much the anti-Mets. The Mets are the team that has bases loaded in the fourth inning and have starting pitchers, pinch hitting for starting pitchers. You know, the Brewers can just put guys anywhere in the infield, outfield. It's you know, I'm quite jealous of Milwaukee right now.
I'm sure you are, as Mets fans, where seemingly is nothing is going right whatsoever.
I mean, I don't even know what to say anymore.
Well, I mean, let's talk about it here for a second, because Matt Harvey, the news on him, not great.
Yeah, but I mean, not for nothing. Everybody had to be very, if you were drafting Harvey, you had to be very, you know, maybe you were hoping for everything to work out, but you had to know that there's a very good chance of failure here or setback of something. I mean, the velocity for the most part this season has been there, but the other night he was 87 and he said, you know, he hadn't thrown 87 since freshman year of high school.
Yeah, you could tell for the first time, at least that I've seen, Harvey's very concerned. Even last year leading up to the injury, he's like, I'm fine, I'm fine, I'm fine, I'm fine. He didn't say that last night, or 2 nights ago.
Yeah, and then the other news about Syndergaard, that he's not going to even pick up a ball for like another 3 or 4 weeks.
But like, if you're the Mets.
So if you have Syndergaard in a redraft league, I think you got to cut him.
But if you're the freaking Mets, there's no rush. There's no rush.
No, I agree. And I think over the next month, you got to trade with whatever like older pieces you have that could be assets to contending teams. You get rid of them, and I really don't care about clocks anymore and stuff like that. Look, you're a team in New York. If you believe that Amed Rosario is your shortstop of the future, you call him up, Let the kid get acclimated. And if he is going to be that good in a year or two, you sign him to a long-term deal.
So that's where I wanted to go next with Amed Rosario. We keep hearing that the time isn't right, but as Drew Cabrera is gone, seemingly, mm-hmm. Neil Walker is hurt. Jose Reyes sucks. He's the worst player on the team. Yeah. So basically, any position in the infield that Amed Rosario could play, every one of those guys is either injured or is awful, right? Or both. And you're hearing the excuse that Rosario is not ready. I don't know what else this man could do in AAA to be ready.
Yeah, it's a little absurd at this point.
It's all right. It's Super 2 clock related. Well, we've seen Derek Fisher come up. We have seen Matt Chapman come up with the A's, and the A's are certainly more fiscally responsible than the Mets, or try to be at least, which means I have to think the Super 2 deadline has come and gone. What the heck are you waiting for?
Well, I think the Mets have to have a serious sit-down atop the organization. Whatever goes on up there. I mean, Sandy Alderson knows his stuff, and he's made some questionable moves in certain areas. He's done very well in other areas for the Mets to keep them somewhat competitive in this thing. And I'm not going to kill Terry Collins on an overall job
That's
performance.
Nice of you.
Because, look, he's had to deal with mounting injuries, seems like, year after year. He's gotten to the World Series a couple of years ago. The man cannot manage a bullpen to save his life. I mean, he finds new ways to mess things up. But I think the Mets, in this next month, should be like, you know what? Let's see who we can move. Let's see who we can get back. And I think it's time to say goodbye to Terry. I think it's time to, you know.
It's a little reset.
Just put even if you put an interim coach for the rest of the season, and that's when you have to go out and say, this is the guy that's going to lead the franchise
for the next whatever years. Yeah.
But just change it up a little. I think, you know, bring up Dom Smith, you know, maybe after the All-Star break. Let's see what he can do. You know, I mean, Duda's been playing well, but if you can get something for Duda, you got to trade him. I mean, this team is not going anywhere. They really aren't. They don't have the pitching. Gesellman, I thought would have a really good year. That doesn't seem to be the case. He was pitching better of late, but he, you know, Nationals, tough team. Lugo, I liked, but I'm not crazy about it. I'm a little skeptical on him. Like, long term, over the course of a season, I think he'll get exposed. And, they have DeGrom. I mean, I think you just got to, like, put DeGrom in bubble wrap. Syndergaard, this is a lost year.
Yeah.
There is really no hope. Maybe he comes up in, like, September and pitches a couple innings just to see that he's healthy. You know, that's the bright spot. That's one thing I can really think about now.
It's amazing as we go to, you know, another organization here, the Tigers. Justin Verlander finally comes back, pitches very, very well. Seven innings, two runs, struck out six. They walk five.
Yeah.
But he struck out six. Seven innings, two run ball. We'll obviously take that every time. And K-Rod immediately comes on and blows that.
I mean, K-Rod should not be in baseball. I mean, he should have been DFA'd like 2 months ago.
Yeah.
I mean, it's obvious to pretty much the masses that this guy is done. I'm no pro scout and stuff like that, but I don't think you have to be a pro scout to, you know, watch this guy come in time and time again. His window, his margin of error was very thin, you know. His velocity had continually gone down. He was, you know, doing it kind of smoke and mirrors and stuff. And, you know, it's time to move on. I don't care if he's bitching that he wants to be in a high level.
You're not good enough, bro.
You know, getting a salary, it's not his call. And to put him in there and watch him give up a home run should not have been surprising to anybody.
Like I said, you're not good enough, bruh.
Yeah, he's had a good career. I mean, the guy's been around for a long time.
Very long time. He pitched in the 2002 World Series.
Yeah. No, so he was like the phenom back then.
Absolutely.
You
remember? It was 15 years ago.
So,
speaking of phenoms, I mentioned this yesterday off the air to you, Matt, as it was Matt Strom Day in Kansas City. And Matt Strom threw 68 pitches. It was actually more than I thought they would allow him to go, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. But in his first start of the year, 5 innings, 3 hits, 1 run, it wasn't earned. He struck out 3. You know the pitch count will be elevated next time. Matt Strom has been talked about by a lot of people in the industry as a guy you want to have this year. I spent like $9 on Fab to get him last night, so I own him now. Where are you on Matt Strom?
Yeah, he's a guy, definitely a person of interest. A guy that, you know, he plays in a nice, pitches in a nice home ballpark. So, I mean, he should get a very long look. It should be, he should be in that rotation going forward.
I have to imagine he's going to be. You know, the Royals. The names they're throwing in there are much less intriguing than
and Strom. This is one of the things we were hoping, that Strom would eventually get into the rotation.
Or be the closer, either one.
Yeah.
Some sort of fantasy value. We'll come back, we'll talk about a fantastic pitching matchup in Philly. We'll get to a lot of football as well. Roto Experts in the Morning continues right after this. We're back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. You mentioned Matt Strom just a minute ago. And as good as Matt Strom was last night, he was very good in those five innings. I gotta tell you, Nick Pivetta was even better, Bodica. 7 innings, 4 hits, no runs, 9 strikeouts, out-dueled Chris Sale?
Yeah, that was some game. I mean, I'm still a person that loves seeing 1-0, 2-1 pitching duels. Look, I like offense, too. I think we've gotten too drunk on the home run. I think it's gotten to the point where it's become excessive. I mean, pretty much this season, everybody's going to have like at least 15 home runs. It's like not even like an accomplishment anymore.
Sure.
I did make a tweet the other night. Like, we still drool over like Joey Gallo and who's the other guy? I mean, they hit Kyle Schwarber. They hit moonshots. Yeah. They're majestic. And they are fun to watch. Don't get me wrong. But a guy like Logan Morrison has a higher batting average, more homers, a higher OBP than both of those guys. And you don't hear a thing about him. That's how it's become. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I completely understand that. Chris Sale, by the way, last night, the favorite, certainly through June 15th, for the AL Cy Young here, right? I mean, dude's been unbelievable thus far.
I mean, he has, and you know, he's been one of the best pitchers ever since he stepped into that starting role. And I remember hearing everybody talking about how, oh, he should just be a reliever. He can never hold up to the demands. That's why, I mean, if you have certain talents, you have to give them a shot at the starting rotation. I mean, not that he wouldn't have been an elite reliever, but he's so much more valuable. And, you know, you can't just, that's why I don't like the 100 pitch count. I get it.
Yep.
And like Matt Harvey was the prime example of the 100 pitch count. Just for some reason, once he hit that 100 pitch count, he was a less effective pitcher.
Right.
So, but everybody's different. I mean, you have guys like, you know, Corey Kluber can go out there and throw 127 pitches, not 170. I mean, Johnny Cueto can throw 120 pitches. Mm-hmm. You know, certain guys can.
Zach Greinke.
You know, if you got like Johan Santana, more diminutive pitchers and stuff, certain guys you have to watch. But, you know, it's going to be fun. As a baseball fan, the Dallas Keuchel stuff, he was pitching so great. I really hope he gets healthy and can get back on the mound.
The Red Sox, even though they fell, they've been hotter as of late. Mookie Betts has been pretty hot, up to .379 with a .359 on base percentage. Over the Phillies, my man Odubel Herrera, he's gone cold.
Yeah, he had that little hot streak, that mini hot streak, maybe we'll call it. And, you know, I think it's kind of disappointing for the Phillies this season. I mean,
I agree. Like, you knew they were going to be bad, but not this bad. You expected, like, a little bit of improvement here.
Yeah, at least from the offense. Like, Franco, we thought would take a step forward. Herrera.
Arnold Harris slowed down, obviously.
Yeah, he actually did hit a homer off a lefty. That was good to see.
He did. Tommy Joseph's honestly been okay.
Yeah, that April was so horrific.
So horrific. And now you're in the middle of June. He's up at .264. I mean, the OBP's not great at .316. But, like, you're going to get power here in the middle of the lineup. He's batting .265. Okay.
Yeah, and as I mentioned with the Mets, I think the Phillies, after the All-Star break, let's bring Jorge Alfaro up. J.P. Crawford. I mean, I know everybody goes like crazy about J.P. Crawford for fantasy. I don't really know what he's going to do for fantasy.
Sure.
I think he's more of like a better major league type player.
Sure.
But then again, I remember hearing about Francisco Lindor. Oh, he's just a glove. And he's obviously way more than just a glove.
Obviously.
Another guy I'd like to see in Philly, a very athletic talent. When I first saw him a couple of years back in the AFL, I mean, he was pretty much striking out like half the time, swinging on anything. Nick Williams.
Sure.
You know.
I saw, what's it really, Lehigh Iron Valley Pigs.
Okay.
Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs. There it is.
Yeah, the Iron Pigs.
Last year, I saw Nick Williams. I saw JP Crawford. I saw I didn't see Jorge Alfaro. I saw a bunch of guys. I was like, oh, this is pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And Nick Williams, he was speedy, man. Like, he was good.
No, he's definitely super athletic, you know, and if he can, I think he's gotten better. I don't know what his final, you know, projections are going to be for him, but I would like to see him at least.
Talented kid. Mm-hmm. Talented kid. Hey, another talented kid is Jose Barrios.
That was impressive.
8 innings, 5 hits, 2 runs, 6 strikeouts. And my buddy who I'm playing this week in my head-to-head texted me at like 3 o'clock-ish. And he's like, man, it feels so good when your pitcher pitches well. And I didn't realize you had a pitcher pitching yesterday. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And it was Jose Barrios. And I'm like, damn.
Well, you guys have been GSD.
Well, we do have a GSD, right. So that was good. I don't think we got a player injured yesterday, so that was cool. First time all week.
Well, what was impressive with Barrios, too, yesterday, the Mariners had scored at least 6 runs the last 3 games. 8 of the 13 games prior to yesterday, they've scored a minimum of 6 runs or more, and were second in baseball in run scored for the month of June. And Barrios just shut them down. I mean, he's going to have great outings going forward, but he's also, you know, he'll still have some bumps in the road, but fun kid to watch. And it's great to see someone that came up last season that we were all hyped up for, disappointed greatly, and has made the adjustment this season.
Absolutely. And Jose Barrios is a guy that, I'm going to be honest with you, you know, we talk about Lamar Miller, and maybe I'm in on Lamar Miller because I didn't get burned last year. Jose Barrios is a guy that I was burned by last year, and I was very, very hesitant, even though there was a lot of good stories in the spring. And I remember the WBC, everyone freaked out over his performance, except one inning was good and the other inning was bad, and everyone kind of ignored the bad one. Mm-hmm. And I just didn't get in on Jose Barrios this year, and I let him go, and then obviously, I let him go. I mean, in GST, we bid a hefty amount. In my home league, we wound up, I let him go, and I was wrong. I mean, guy's 6-1, 2.74 ERA. Has he been as good yesterday as he was the rest of his starts? No. Is he as good as his first 2 starts? No. But he has proven to be really, really good.
Yeah, the one thing I will say, like you said, you were burned last year, or you weren't burned by Lamar Miller, so you have a different...
Yes.
And that's very true. And I think one of the important things, you play fantasy, and it's tough, but you have to... When you say a player's dead to me, that's just... You're basically hurting yourself.
I agree with that.
By taking somebody out of the pool that you're going to, you know... And also, you know, it's a cliche, but it's correct. At some points, everybody has a price.
I don't want to say players... It takes a couple of years for a player to be dead to me, like do it over and over again. But I'm certainly hesitant on players that burn me, right?
Like, yeah, no, it's...
Yes, every player has a price. And I know Corey, for instance, got crushed by Lamar Miller. He got crushed by Duke Johnson. But like, the two of you get crushed by Sammy Watkins every year. You still won't stop. I believe that's called insanity, isn't it?
It is called insanity. But, you know, I'm just basing it off of the talent. I mean, when you just look at the targets that are there, it's like, you know, when you have a guy that's supremely talented, and the only way he's not going to succeed this year is if he gets hurt again, which is a possibility, but he's already taking snaps. Is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing? Should they be holding him back a little? I don't know. I'm kind of excited to see him out on the field, even if it's not for every snap, but seeing him out there right now is a positive. Dr. A said, as long as there's no setbacks this summer, he's good to go. And at some point, if it's mid-third round, that he's going anywhere from the middle of the third round to early fourth. And if you can get a player of that talent that's pretty much going to dominate the entire share of targets in that offense, I don't know how you can pass up on that.
I get it. We saw yesterday in this NFFC draft that Corey and Frank Stanfill and Donnie Burns here at our network were participating in. That's where Sammy Watkins went at the end of the third round.
Well,
really.
I mean, people are taking Tyreek Hill over him now. And you know what? I'll let you have Tariq Hill. I'll bet anybody this season you want to go head-to-head, Tariq Hill versus Sammy Watkins. I'll take Sammy Watkins.
Yeah. The Bills are an interesting situation. Like, I think there's certain teams, the Bills, the, I don't want to say the Browns, but like Houston, that have fantastic wide receivers in Watkins. We're getting more in Watkins in a second. Watkins and Hopkins, and I just can't get behind them. I don't know why. I can tell you, I don't trust Tyrod Taylor. Like, I do trust Tyrod Taylor. I like LeSean McCoy. I just don't. there's always something that hesitates me about these guys.
Well, yeah, I totally get it. This is a big year for Tyrod Taylor. I think they do open that offense up a little more.
Okay.
I think you will see the passing yards go up. They're still going to run the ball. They have a very good offensive line that knows how to run block. They really do. I mean, Richie Incognito, you can say what you want to say about him, but he pretty much excels in that.
Well,
he's a bad man when they're playing the game.
Well, let's be honest. Ever since Richie Incognito has gone to Buffalo, I mean, he's been incredible.
No,
he
has.
He's been a, quote, model citizen for them. And on the field, like, I remember back when he was in St. Louis, and I remember Richie Incognito. And, like, I always thought, like, I liked him because I thought he looked like this bruiser, but he seemed like kind of overrated. And then he goes to Miami and the whole Bullygate stuff, and he's out for the year, and nobody wants him. And this is a dude that, you know, whether you believe his turnaround or not, and you believe that he's no longer angry, no longer this bully, and I'm not saying that what he did is unlike what so many other teams around the NFL do, but this is the dude that's really changed around his persona and now is truly known for how good he is on the field. So it's a good ups to Richie Incognito.
Yeah, no, I have to totally agree with your assessment. The one guy I will say in the last round, if you want to take a flyer on, I think will have a role. He definitely will have a role unless he gets suspended again. And getting suspended last year cost him is Jonathan Williams. They are committed to this kid. They've come out and said it. Sean McCoy is going to be the lead. He'll be the bell cow back. But as you saw last year with Gillislee, there will be a role for that second back. And I think Williams will infringe on his touchdown total.
We've seen Gillislee have that role. We've seen Carlos Williams have that role. You think Jonathan Williams will be next?
I think I thought last year he would have been.
And it's interesting because Gillislee had standalone value. Carlos Williams had standalone value. Do you think that Jonathan Williams has standalone value? But to be fair, it is a different coaching staff.
Yeah, it's a different coaching staff. Like I said, I don't know if he's going to have standalone value. I don't really go with the handcuff. But if you do spend the first round pick on McCoy and you want to, like, say, in the last round, take Jonathan Williams, I don't think that's a bad move.
Where are you in drafting handcuffs?
It depends. Like, I took Le'Veon Bell one. I don't have John Connor. James Connor. Thinking of Terminator.
Exactly. let's dive into the handcuff conversation a little bit here. We need to injuries as well. Injuries and handcuffs. We're going for the next hour and a half. Roto Experts in the Morning continues on right after this. As I said on Sincata and Angle, I have an entire injury scale we're getting to in a little bit, and you're excited about that. Matt and I avoid the scale when possible.
Yeah, I'm avoiding the scale.
But we're going to get into the injury scale in a few. But I wanted to actually have a brief conversation in regards to handcuffs, because I think it's a debate that wages on. So I'm somebody that, if I'm drafting David Johnson, I'm drafting Le'Veon Bell, even though you didn't do it, like, I'm making sure I get Connor. I'm making sure I get, I don't know, I'm assuming it's not Andre Ellington anymore, but somebody like Andre Ellington. Like, I'm going to do that. And I actually think in today's climate where we don't trust any running backs, certainly last year when nobody drafted him very highly, at least in my league, handcuffs were owned. Like, who did I own last year? I owned Bilal Powell. I didn't own Matt Forte, but I owned Bilal Powell. Mm-hmm. There were other handcuffs, of course, I'm forgetting their names now, that I own just because, like, oh, you know what? Maybe this guy will get a shot. If so-and-so goes down, I own him, right? Like, where's another example of that? Like, in Oakland, somebody owned Jalen. I didn't even know who Jalen Richard was, and I do this, right? Somebody owned Jalen Richard in case Latavius Murray got hurt, and it did happen. And we saw that all across the league last year, that people weren't even owning their own handcuffs anymore. And maybe it's because the benches were too deep, but people were, at least in my leagues, were jumping on all of these handcuffs as what-ifs because there's so many injuries.
Yeah, and the way I look at it is, if, say, like, I drafted Le'Veon Bell, and I have the opportunity to get Jamal Williams. Now, I think Jamal Williams, if he's the lead running back for Green Bay, is in a great situation.
Right.
So I'm going to go after a guy like him. If you believe Devontae Booker gets the opportunity again and can usurp C.J. Anderson, that could be a really good situation. The offensive line has improved. I mean, I'm not a Simeon guy, so I'm suspect on that offense in general. But I think that defense is so good that they're going to play game manager and want to run the ball there. So I don't know. I mean, I try and look for the opportunities. Like if you were somebody that speculated on Jordan Howard.
Right.
Now, the thing, too, is this is the key. You could speculate. You could even be right with your speculation on draft day. But it usually takes a while. So you still have to hold on to these guys because at some point, you know what? Injuries happening. Like, well, I got to let this guy go. And maybe somebody else benefits. But I'm just not. Hey, look, if I can get Connor, you know, last round,
right.
Great. But the thing with David Johnson is, I mean, who really is the best? I mean, Kerwin Williams, every time he gets out there, he kind of does play pretty well.
Does something. Yeah. I don't really have an answer. But I think the point you made a second ago was right. Like, if you have Le'Veon, if you have David Johnson, where we're not positive who's going to take up the lion's share of the carries if you get hurt. Like, maybe you should be drafting the Jamal Williams and taking shots in other places. Maybe that is the right point. Jake Seeley likes to say, listen, there's no point of owning Greg Jennings on your team. He always brings it back to Greg Jennings because this is the guy who's going to be the last wide receiver on your bench. You never actually want to play him. There's no high upside there. To me, you want to own some of these handcuffs where there is a much, much higher upside, potentially.
I do agree. But the thing is, say Le'Veon Bell goes down and you insert Connor. We're not guaranteed that this kid is going to do it. We've all seen the
D'Angelo Williams.
And we think that's an automatic.
Right. And you're right. So maybe we're giving it to Connor. And listen, it could be Fitzgerald Toussaint. Fitzgerald Toussaint instead. I don't know. So maybe we're rushing to Connor instead. But like, I think that we look at these handcuff situations and our bench needs to be, mostly in my opinion, mostly upside. Like, I think we should be drafting upside guys on that bench. And I think a lot of the times handcuffs are upside. Now, I know there's some people in the fantasy community that will argue drafting handcuffs are literally wastes of time because you're just speculating on injuries that may never occur and you're going to miss out on some other guys. Maybe that's true. I don't think that way, though.
Well, I think this season there's a lot of rookies out there that have really good opportunities. P. Ryan in Washington, Jamal Williams. Everybody's kind of been on the Joe Williams train. In my draft champions this morning, I got, I think, the 25th or 26th round, Matt Breida of the San Francisco 49ers, the undrafted free agent, who is the one who's being talked up the most right now.
I don't even know who that
is. In San Francisco. Like, saying he's looked the best. But, you know, he's an undrafted free agent. So, you know, 25th, 26th round, that. I'll take a shot. I even got Chris Godwin.
Well, Chris Godwin, everybody's talking about Chris Godwin.
You know, but I mean, something like that. I look for the talent and the opportunity versus the handcuff. I mean, maybe like in a place like Buffalo where I know they are really, I mean, Jonathan Williams is really the only guy there anyway. Mike Tolbert is not going to be, if LeSean McCoy goes down, it's not going to be Mike Tolbert. I can tell everybody that right now. I'll bet whatever you want on that. So Jonathan Williams will get that chance.
I agree with that. Do you think, and you mentioned just a little bit earlier that Jonathan Williams will steal some goal line work from LeSean McCoy. You think Mike Tolbert will?
I don't know what they want to use Tolbert. I hope not.
He
is a bowling ball. I just hope maybe he's there for more blocking as opposed to anything. I don't know.
A couple of football headlines I want to get to before we get to our injury scale. I'm kind of upset, to be honest with you. We're not, and I mean this truly, it upsets me in my heart, in my soul, that we're not going to chase Christian Michael at all this year. Like, very upsetting to me.
I was like, look, I don't wish for anybody to get injured, but when I saw that, I was like, okay, can we finally just be done with this guy?
See, hopefully, heartless, not heartless.
Hopefully, he gets a nice, like, injury severance, and hopefully he's made some money and he's banked
it. Put it away.
But, I mean, enough. I just don't want to see the name anymore. And, you know, it's because you'll always see some fool put on Twitter or something, him breaking a 40-yard run. And everybody gets all excited. And then he just ultimately disappoints you. So,
Christian Michael didn't unfortunately make it to training camp. He's been put on injured reserve. I don't know what the world's coming to when Christian Michael is not going to be a fantasy thing. Like, I don't know. I'm very confused by this.
Yeah, we're going to have to find somebody. We have to find the like, new. I want to find out who's going to be the new.
You know what's going to be crazy? Like, if all of a sudden Jared Cook goes on IR today, I'm really going to be lost, dude.
I kind of love that Corey calls Jared Cook Bigfoot.
Yeah, he loves the Bigfoot term.
That is a good one.
Anquan Boldin last year was not Bigfoot. He was legit. I believe, what, he had 8-9 touchdowns last year?
Yeah, no.
For Detroit, a major red zone threat. And Jim Caldwell yesterday really intimated that, like, listen, we're not re-signing this guy. Anquan Boldin's side kind of came out and said, listen, we want to play close to Florida. I think it's more of Detroit doesn't really want him, so he wants to play closer to his home. He went to Florida State. He's a Florida guy. Jacksonville doesn't really need a wide receiver. Tampa Bay certainly doesn't need a wide receiver. I don't think Miami needs a wide receiver either. Maybe you get to Tennessee, but it looks like they're interested in Eric Decker. So I don't really know where Anquan Boldin's going to end up if he sticks to wanting to stay close to his home in Florida. But the bigger news here is that it doesn't look like they will be signing a wide receiver. They're going to go with what they have, which brings up a name we were talking about over the last 2 days, and that's Eric Ebron. And I have to think his value is just scorching up right now.
Yeah, Ebron's value definitely goes up. Golden Tate, I mean, I believe that Boldin had like 95 targets. You mentioned the 8 touchdowns that he scored last year. And he was kind of like a tight end in the end zone. That big body right. And stuff. He was that
presence. And Ebron went through some injuries.
Yeah, and Ebron, so this, I mean, I get it. I know there's a lot of that train's rolling, the Eric Ebron train. I get it. He's going to have that. If it's ever going to happen for him, it's going to happen this year. I like Golden Tate to maybe add on a couple of touchdowns as well. And the kids who watch out of there, they've talked him up. They're not signing Boldin. They're not going to get another receiver. Kenny Galladay, he's going to be the number 3 receiver there. And Marvin Jones, I don't know what to expect from him this season. That's an interesting player.
It's funny because you're going to hear a lot of people this if they truly don't re-sign a wide receiver in Anquan Boldin or sign a new wide receiver. A lot of people are going to talk about Kenny Galladay, and in all honesty, I'm probably out. I think that as a Marvin Jones owner in the past, I'm going to be out on Kenny Galladay because I've seen that this offense, it was Golden Tate, it was Anquan Boldin in the red zone, it was Eric Ebron in the red zone. That was it. And theoretic, right? Like, mm-hmm. I don't see the role that Kenny Galladay is going to play. Like, I don't think all of a sudden he's going to get 95 targets and 8 touchdowns.
Oh, yeah, no. I totally agree with you, but he just becomes a person that...
Of interest.
Yeah, and you put on a watch list because we know all the injuries that are going to happen, and you have to... It's not just about drafting, and say you're in a 16-team draft, drafting those guys. What I like about the preseason, because, you know, it's kind of like baseball spring training. You get bored of it very quickly. It gets very boring, very fast.
It's really exciting, and then it's really boring.
Yeah, exactly. But the thing is, it's putting players, writing names down, having a thing to say, you know what, these guys probably aren't going to get drafted, but guys I need to know as the season progresses.
So I think Kenny Galladay is a little bit different. Like, to me, I think Kenny Galladay, I think like Eli Rogers from last year, where Eli Rogers was a guy that nobody talked about or heard of, and all of a sudden, Eli Rogers was a thing, and then people drafted Eli Rogers, and then people dropped Eli Rogers, they picked Eli Rogers up, and they dropped, you know. That was like a thing last year.
Yeah, but the thing with fantasy football, too, is with the bye weeks and stuff, you're going to need, the guys you're going to need to insert in there, and sometimes you hit on that week, you know, that he happens to be... That was his magical week or something.
On the Fantasy Best Friends Forever yesterday, we looked at the NFC North in general. We touched on Dalvin Cook a bunch, and we'll talk more about the Bears on today's program. But we kind of did a dive into the tight end position. And, you know, you had your big three, and then I think you there's everybody else. And I think we've talked a lot about Jack Doyle and Kyle Rudolph here. And I think Eric Ebron, given they really don't re-sign Anquan Boldin, the more I look into it, he's going to jump into this tier with those other guys.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to say don't go after Eric Ebron. I get it. And if you wait, he's one of the options. Ebron, Doyle. I mean, if Kyle Rudolph is still there, I'm going to take Rudolph over both, though, if he's still there. I just think... As long as Sam Bradford's a quarterback, he's in a perfect situation.
I agree with you. I'm a Kyle Rudolph guy, admittedly. I've never been an Eric Ebron guy. I think this year I am.
Okay.
So that's just a change personally for me that we're getting into. We'll come back, talk a little bit more football strategy, session planning, and then to start hour number 2, we'll get into our injury scale. Now stick around. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It's Friday, man. I am excited for his Mike Lyon today, Matt Modica.
I am. It is going to be a duel, as they say.
It is going to be an old-fashioned duel. If Corey was here, I don't think I'd let him play today. And see, like, I don't want him to play.
We can do it like gentlemen do it. Like
sure. Like we'll take 10 steps and then kill each other.
Exactly. What was it?
Alexander Hamilton. You did you see Hamilton?
I did not. In all honesty, I'm really not a Broadway guy. Sure. At one point in my life, I had to go to Broadway plays when I worked on Wall Street.
Well, that's why you're Wall Street Man Modica.
Being in the sales, you know, having to take people out. Everybody wanted to go see. Like, I saw Lion King when it first came out.
Right.
And I was at, we were talking yesterday, McCrory. We saw the bus or something. I'm like, damn, Lion King's still around.
Still going strong. I also saw Lion King with my family, obviously, when it first came out. It was great. Awesome.
Oh no, it was very good. That I liked. Phantom of the Opera I thought was like one of the most overrated.
So my dad many years before I was born, or when I was very, very young, he had to take clients. Same type of thing, he had to take clients out. They always wanted to go to Broadway. He saw Phantom of the Opera like once a week for like a million weeks in a row. He loved it. So years later, he took my sister and I to Phantom of the Opera. I thought it was the most boring thing.
Yeah.
Les Mis? Did you see Les Mis?
No, I would try. One of the things I hated about it too is I have to go to dinner before the play.
Right.
And there's nothing worse than, you know, going out, having a dinner, and then having to sit there, and then there's the intermission. And I just want to get the hell out of there, intermission.
Right. We do the same thing, but now when I see a show, I like it. Oh, honestly, which probably shouldn't surprise anybody. No, I like it. I eat afterwards. So I'm excited to go to dinner.
Yeah, see, that I like. That idea I'm with.
But like, you can only do that, and not to see sounds all snobby in New York, you can only do it if you live around here, because like, you know, I don't have to rush home, right? Like, I can eat, mm-hmm. and then even if I live like in like Hoboken, I can go eat and then go back to Hoboken.
Especially with like parking out here, if like you drive in with the family, right. You have like 3 hours for like maybe a lucky $30 or something.
Totally.
And after that, it's like, you know, first month's rent.
We should start. Yeah, I was gonna say you have to get parking coupons. Now I'm trying to turn it into like you need fantasy coupons or something.
Well, you can do it actually on Groupon, believe it or not, for parking lots in the city.
And there's also like Icon Parking for those in the New York area. Icon Parking, always, you just never park at Icon without a coupon. There's literally coupons if you just Google that parking lot. Yeah. One last note, we'll do injuries starting at 9 a.m., and that is that no Panthers running back. This just comes out from Panister Fantasy Preview from last night. No Panthers running back has reached 30 receptions in a season in over 5 years.
But I think that changes this season. I think that all changes. I think the way they're looking at this offense and drafting McCaffrey, Samuel as well. Greg Olsen is not going away. He's still going to be there. I mean, Kelvin Benjamin, I know the argument. He's still a number one wide receiver. But, I mean, this guy's got to be the most uninspiring number one wide receiver. I mean, he's becoming like an Eddie Lacy wide receiver. Like, what is he trying to do, eat himself out of the league? I mean, it's kind of depressing. Funchess has never emerged to what we thought he could be. He'll show you a glimpse 1 week, and you'll get like, excited, and that'll go by the wayside real fast. So I do think those two kids are going to be heavily involved. I mean, Jonathan Stewart, I don't know. You take him somewhere late if you want, but I'm not, you know, drafting Jonathan Stewart anywhere.
I'll probably take him late.
It has to be late.
Isn't this a guy, Jonathan Stewart, that will score touchdowns?
Possibly. I don't know.
I get it.
I just made the argument not to write off players, but I usually have him, and I know what he is. But he's like always hurt, and then he's always like questionable. And I'd rather, you know, pay up on McCaffrey or just kind of avoid that.
I think I'm avoiding it. People were talking about Christian McCaffrey yesterday, the NFFC draft, and I was like, I'm the low guy on Christian McCaffrey. I really am.
I think that could change right after you see like one preseason game.
Oh yeah. I'm very volatile, in my opinion. When we come back, there's a couple of injuries here. Roto Experts in the Morning, hour number two, next.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the Morning.
starts now.
Hour number two of the Roto Experts in the Morning is live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Matt Modica, Greg Sussman, intimate program for you here on a Friday. And I'm realizing this, Modica, that this is actually going to be, this is like a little sample for what we're going to get on Tuesday, which is you and I again.
What about Monday? We're going to have the, I'm actually kind of missing the Kings dancing.
Are you?
I've gotten so used to it.
I'm not. This is like,
it's kind of like a,
this is nice.
Appendage of me.
This is nice. I mean, I can say one day the controller, he's going to just say the wrong thing. I really feel like you're just going to like, you're going to do something angry.
No. I like Scott.
My goal is to get Matt so angry that something happens.
Choke him out, but
that's all I'm asking for. Just for 1 second, the hands around the neck. Roto Experts exclusive edge package is available right now for you at rotoexperts.com. Guess what? We have a new promo code, Matt.
Radio?
No, promo code is Dad. It's Father's Day.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You get 25% off this.
I didn't even know that.
That's what I thought I read yesterday. Hopefully that's right, people. You're getting 25% now.
You're getting some money off. I can't promise it's 25%.
And even if you're not a dad, you get it too.
That's right. Even if you're not a dad, it's a fantastic Father's Day gift. And total honesty, my dad, big fantasy football player, and I actually had this in the rundown for today. I don't want to talk to Corey about it because Corey and Scott are the actually only dads on the panel. Neither of them are here today. But, you know, my dad plays fantasy. And he is always somebody that would just do an automated draft. He's like, I don't have time for this. I'm like, Dad, you get home from work. You have your glass of wine. What are you doing? I'm like, I got to watch America's Got Talent. I'm like, I go, wait a minute. You know, watch America's Got Talent. Yeah, and what's the Gordon Ramsay show? Hell's Kitchen?
Hell's Kitchen.
I got confused because we were talking about Hell's Kitchen before. Hell's Kitchen. You could do a draft one night instead of watching Hell's Kitchen. Like, Gordon Ramsay's not going anywhere. So last year, I think he did two years ago, he did his first live fantasy football draft. He's like, this is cool. I'm like, isn't it cool? So he's someone that can actually use the Roto Experts exclusive edge.
Yeah, no, definitely.
And I will be probably purchasing one for Father's Day on Sunday. Does your dad play fantasy sports?
No, he passed, but he does. He was never into the fantasy.
Okay.
He was always into sports, though. He was a big Rangers fan, right. Mets fan, Giants. So the one thing is, I did get the only fantasy I got him involved with was fantasy golf.
Okay.
The DFS version, right. That's something we would like do. I'd say, who do you like? And I'd tell him, look, these are the guys we have. So I did start getting him into that.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, so for me, like, I owe all the fantasy to him, my dad, because I guess I wasn't old enough or I wasn't invited, whatever, into the league. I'll talk more about this in a second. I wasn't into the league, and him and I teamed up, and we did a fantasy baseball league together, we did a fantasy football league together, and now he continues to play without me, and now he takes my advice, and you know what? He wins, because, you know, it's kind of my job. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk more Father's Day. Use promo code DAD at rotoexperts.com. And when we return, the injury scale, which dads are avoiding, here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Matt Modica, you sir are correct. Promo code DAD, you got the information before I did. Promo code DAD at rotoexperts.com gets you 25% off for Father's Day.
Well, I'm glad I'm correct. I got a little nervous there. I don't know about 25%.
I had no idea what you were talking about.
I was like, okay, maybe I should shut my mouth. No. But yeah, like I said, this weekend, take advantage of that. I mean, that's a really good deal. And, you know, you don't even have to go out of the house. And boom, click, boom, done.
There you go. So, RotoExperts.com exclusive edge package, promo code DAD. I'm going to do it for my dad because Scott Engel doesn't give me comps on anything. So I have to use promo code DAD to get him an exclusive edge package for Father's Day. It's a really good gift for the dads to play fantasy sports. And it's real, man. It is a real thing. Corey's dad, he plays. Obviously, Scott's dad, he plays. But even my dad, who, you know, is not in the industry, he's got his three teams. And he loves his three teams that he does every year.
Yeah, man. I just think people in general love playing it. It makes football more fun. It makes you like baseball better. Like, say you were just a Met or a Yankee fan. And it makes you just know the league itself and all the players. And for the most part, if it's, say you're at work or you have a home league, it's a good thing that just bonds people.
It totally is. All right, Modica. It's that time you've been dreading all morning.
Getting on the scale?
We gotta get on the scale.
Okay.
Pretend we had this like crazy promo intro for getting on the scale. But, you know, next time. All right, let's get on the scale here, Matt Modica. And let's get on the scale for Sammy Watkins. The scale, the scale's going to be pretty big here. Mm-hmm. Because it's going to tell us that he's had a major, major foot injury. It's going to tell us that he hasn't been on the field for the entire season for a long time. It's going to tell us that when he's on the field, he's incredibly effective. If the scale is 1 pound to 100 pounds, we'll make it 100 pounds to 200 pounds. 100 pounds to 200 pounds. How heavy is that scale for Sammy Watkins?
Right now, for me, it's in the middle. It's 150.
150.
I'm going to put it at 150. And right now, I know I'm taking, maybe it's even harder, I'm taking a greater risk. Because I really do need to see how he does throughout the preseason.
Okay.
Because that's really the caveat here, that I'm pushing Sammy Watkins. I know most people aren't going to be doing their, you know, big leagues, their live events, and all that kind of stuff until the end of August, middle of August, that first weekend of September, whatever. So, but this is a guy, I'm going to take Dr. A's advice too on this. We specifically broke this down. Barring any setbacks, he should be, you know, at normal risk. Nothing, you know, shouldn't be elevated and all that stuff.
Yep.
And seeing how he broke down Julio Jones's foot versus Sammy Watkins' foot, I feel pretty confident right now.
So where would you put Sammy Watkins on the scale right now?
Like I said, right in the middle.
I meant Julio Jones, I'm sorry. Oh, Julio, where'd you put Julio Jones on the scale is what I meant.
See, he's probably up there for me, but he's just such a proven talent. To me, he's probably like the best receiver in the game, if not the best player. And the thing is, even with that foot injury, he plays 14, 15 games every year. So if I have, it's hard for me to pass. Like I had the fifth pick and I took Odell. But, you know, at six, I'm probably taking, if I had the sixth pick, I'm probably taking Julio.
And I know you're over Mike Evans.
Yeah, I love Evans too. That's why I kind of like not having to make that decision. I'll take any of them. And I'd rather have that one later pick because I get that one earlier pick in the seventh round. And in all honesty, if I ended up with A.J. Green at nine, I'm totally cool with that.
Well, A.J. Green's another guy that I think we have to put on the scale here because A.J. Green, no, yeah. Like, listen, we've kind of alluded
he's
to it.
He's got a free pass, A.J. Green, about injuries.
That's a fact. We've kind of, I don't want to say forgotten about it, but like, listen, we talk about Sammy Watkins all the time for good reason. We talk about Julio Jones this offseason a lot when it comes to his foot injuries. But A.J. Green, two of the last 3 years, has not played 16 games. Last year it was 10, 2014 it was 13. I get how effective he is. I mean, he had 100 targets in 10 games last year. 100 targets in 10 games, 964 yards in 10 games. Touchdowns were down, but you extrapolate that, I mean, the numbers are otherworldly. We know that. But where is A.J. Green on the scale when it comes to injuries?
I'll put him at 133 out of the 200.
Okay. Like so if that's lower, just to be clear, that is lower than Sammy Watkins and Julio Jones.
So, yeah, somewhere between 125 and 133, between that quarter to a third. Because there has to be, you know, this has happened 2 out of 3 years. And when you lose, I think it was the first 8 weeks, he was the number one wide receiver.
Yep.
So when you lose that, you know, you have to be able to try and rely on these guys. And look, it's football. Anybody can get taken out in one play. But he's another guy. When he's on there, I've seen him do it enough. He's going to be the lead guy. John Ross, to me, this season is more of somebody that's a gadgety kind of guy for them. They'll make him run down the field. He'll do some special teams. It's all going to be in the air, A.J. Green on the ground, Joe Mixon for me.
I think so too, and the more I've read about Joe Mixon and the situation there, that like Gio's just not going to be healthy. Like Giovanni Bernard is weighing heavily on that injury scale right now, coming back from the ACL injury. Jeremy Hill's always been a forgotten man, and for good reasons in Cincinnati. Joe Mixon's going to get every opportunity on this Bengals team to run away with this job.
Yeah, and that's why I've been taking him. I've been high on him. It's like we say, opportunity. When I hear Andy Dalton say, when Joe Mixon's on the field, teams don't know if we're going to pass or run. You know, their second best option might be ready for week one, coming off of a big knee injury, as you just alluded to. And I mean, is Jeremy Hill even on this roster come September? That's a possibility he might not be on.
Let's say he's not on. The problem is going to be for you, Isaiah Crowell owner, if he's not on. Because he's going right back to Hugh Jackson. I tell you that right now.
Yeah, that would, but that would be unfortunate. Because I do think Isaiah Crowell is lined up to have a really nice year.
You know, on the video that we posted yesterday in regards to Lamar Miller, a lot of people were like, we don't like Lamar Miller, but we're really on Isaiah Crowell. Like, Corey has him convinced here.
Yeah, I'm really not a big Lamar Miller guy. But when he falls to the fourth round, you have to be like, hey, wait a second here. This guy was an end of the first round, early second last season. Okay, he was overdrafted, obviously. But I don't know if he's somebody that should be going in the middle of the fourth. I mean, I thought the biggest egregious mistake last season was the fact that he only caught 30 passes. That's a guy who should be catching about 50 passes.
Sure.
I mean, when you see him in that aspect, and he's a guy that can't take the beating. And we were talking about pitchers before being able to hold up. This is a guy that's not built to run the ball, you know, 30 times, 27 times in a game. You don't want to see that. I don't think that's the right usage. And the guy they drafted is built to do that. So it's kind of a nice match. So you are bringing me over to the Lamar Miller side more and more.
Well, again, the last positive thing on Lamar Miller, we had a whole video out. You can check it out yesterday. You can check it out from yesterday on YouTube. It's just that we're crushing him for what he did in 300 touches. He had 300 touches.
Yeah, that too. And you know.
Let me go to another one, a higher profile name on the injury scale. Rob Gronkowski. I get it, right? Experts don't want Gronk. It's not even so much they don't like Gronk. They don't like where Gronk is going, where they have to take him to have him. He's got the back injuries. He's got the elbow injuries. He's got the knee injuries. This is a broken man, for lack of a better term. But when he's on the field, there is no better tight end in football than Rob Gronkowski.
He's a guy you cannot project for 16 games. That's the first thing. Gronk is Gronk.
I want to take that statement for a second. You can't project him for 16 games. And I think a lot of these guys on this list, Sammy Watkins, in all honesty,
yeah,
right?
Like, you're right.
Some of these running backs, maybe Danny Woodhead, who's on this list. Jordan Reed, certainly. We'll talk about tight ends. You can't. It's very, very tough to project Jordan Reed and Rob Gronkowski to play 16 games. How do we conceptualize this then? Like, okay, I have to plan for 14 games max from these guys. How do I conceptualize when drafting where I should be? Where do I take that into account, that very line that you gave?
Well, here's the thing. Like, we talk about rankings, and I've been promoting Sammy Watkins.
Sure.
Sammy Watkins, in all the drafts that I've done that is on my team, is not my first receiver. Is not my second receiver.
Okay, so he's not your second receiver anywhere either.
If you had to take him as your number two and you had a beast running back, cool. I'm fine with that. But as your two is the highest I would go with him. You can't make him your number one. If you went running back, going Sammy Watkins, you know, you're going winging a prayer there. So how you have to conceptualize it is, hey, look, Gronk is great. What makes Gronk great is the way he plays. But this is every year. And Gronk's not going to change. He's not going to change his approach. This is a guy that's going to get on the field and not going to say, hey, you know what, Rob? Take it down a notch. It's just not going to happen. And I don't think the Patriots want that to happen. When he's out there, they want him to be Rob Gronkowski. So I took him 3-3 last year. I was like, and the reason and as you're saying, the price, I was like, I have to take Gronk here. I didn't want to take Gronk. And that's why I'm not going to do that. If he's in the third round, I'm not going to take him again. There's other tight ends out there. Jordan Reed was a guy last year I took later on in the third round or early fourth. And I was happy with that. But I might have even taken Jordan Reed in the third round because he's one shot away.
It's a good point. It's a good point. I want to talk more about this very concept, though, of drafting injured players. Keenan Allen comes to mind. Danny Woodhead comes to mind. Guys that are perennially injured. You can't project out for 16 games. They're weighing heavy on the scale. But what does that do to us when we're drafting them? And both in a snake and an auction. We'll do it next on the Roto Experts in the Morning. The injury scale weighs heavy here on a Friday edition of the Roto Experts in the Morning. Matt Modica, Greg Sussman hanging out with you. Remember, use promo code DAD and buy the Exclusive Edge package because it's Father's Day. And we want to give you 25% off package, promo code DAD, over the weekend. It's always very tough to me to speculate on these injured players because you're right, Modica. You can't expect 16 games from a Rob Gronkowski, from a Sammy Watkins, from a Jordan Reed. Mm-hmm. Guys are injured every year. You can't do it. And yet, there's certain guys, I'll use Keenan Allen as an example. There's guys like Keenan Allen who I have drafted who I have an affinity for because I know how good he could be, like Gronk. I know how good these guys can be. And it, not just me, we overlook the reality of the situation. Like, Keenan Allen on the injury scale has to be about 160 to me. I don't know where he is for you, but he has to be 160.
Yeah, no, I'm still not convinced he's 100% back. I think he stated he was 85% back,
okay,
or something like that. And I am still a little. That's why I will take Golden Tate or Jarvis Landry over him every time, right?
Sure.
Right now, I think they're very similar receivers. You know, great PPR guys. I mean, when healthy, if he never had the injury, Keenan Allen was above both of them.
Right.
But now he's coming off that injury.
Right.
So that, I mean, that's different. What I'm saying is, you make a point. Like, you say you like to have that one wide receiver, the one running back.
I do.
It's all about your approach when you sit down to draft. Having an idea of what you want to do. I'm not saying you have to stick to that if somebody falls and stuff. But just having ideas. Like, I like to go wide receiver heavy. So if I'm making Sammy Watkins my third wide receiver, I'm not relying on him to anchor my team. Now, if I take a, if I take LeSean McCoy in the first round.
Sure.
And now at the end of the fifth round, beginning of the sixth round, Danny Woodhead's there, and he's my running back number two. I already have a bell cow. I have a guy that could be a PPR monster. Yes, there is risk. He might not stay on the field. First off, this is, you know, my fifth or sixth pick in the draft as well. But a guy who's in a fantastic situation, especially with Dennis Pitta going down. And a team, I mean, look at Joe Flacco. He was second in attempts last year. I mean, the guy was chucking it up, and he's captain check down too. So, doesn't have Pitter. I'm thinking he's going to lean on the running backs as well. So, I think it's being, and I could get the argument where people are going to say, well, Gronkowski is so above and beyond, better than everyone else when healthy. I don't know if he's so above and beyond a Jordan Reed when healthy. Because, I mean, Jordan Reed, I think, is up there with him. But, I mean, I'd probably write, this season, I might go Gronk for the fact that I think at some point Jordan Reed will get a concussion. And when that happens, it's not going to be a one-week thing. It's not going to be a two-week thing. It could be a career-ending thing or probably like a month-long thing before he can come back. It's kind of like a Wes Welker situation we've gotten into, which is a shame because the guy is supremely talented. He makes that offense so much better. But and the other guy that goes in the third round is Travis Kelce. Okay, Kelsey's healthy. There's no more Jeremy Maclin. He is going to be, you know, he is their number one wide receiver. You know, he's their number one receiving option, excuse me. And Tariq Hill can't be that guy. He's not built for that role.
Certainly.
He'll be more involved, obviously. Mm. But am I going to spend a third round pick on Travis Kelce? No, I just can't do it.
And I understand that. And then I recognize that roster construction and drafting is always, not always, but like it's an easy answer. It's an easy way out to a question. Mm-hmm. But in this scenario, I agree with you in that when the answer to all these injury guys, all the guys on the higher end of the injury scale, like you just put somebody at like 130, like AJ Green, right? Like you put him at 130 on the scale, which means to me, like I can rely on him as the wide receiver one that I project him to be. But when it comes to a Keenan Allen, who I love, and a Sammy Watkins, who you love, it's going to truly depend because they are just so high on this scale and they are so heavy and really could weigh your team down so much. It really, truly depends on what else you have on your team. To do it and not rely on a Sammy Watkins or a Keenan Allen to be a one or a two means that anything they give you in a way is gravy. Like if they play 14 out of 16 games, you're fine with it. If they, you know, have a couple of bad games here and there, as they work their way back from injuries, you're fine with it because you could afford it given how you drafted. You have put yourself in your position to do it. The Danny Woodhead example you gave, great. He's a PPR back that you're getting in the sixth round. If he doesn't, if there's games where he doesn't do anything, you're okay with it because it didn't cost you anything.
And just to add one more thing, like in the second round, the guy that I consistently drafted was Doug Baldwin. Doug Baldwin.
The model of consistency.
Yeah, the model of consistency. I'm building that foundation, that 1-2 with my wife. And if you, and so Sammy Watkins is, as you say, or say you wanted Keenan Allen, you're a Keenan Allen guy. I'm totally fine putting Keenan Allen in there. If Keenan Allen's knee blows out again, look, you didn't waste the first or second round pick. You built your team. But even with running backs, if you go say to yourself, I'm going to the draft, I'm picking at the back, I'm going to go two running backs, which is fine. If you can get like Freeman or Gordon.
Right, Freeman and Gordon, sure.
That's fine. But you also have to look at, if I do that, what wide receivers will I be getting in the draft going forward?
Right.
Because, I mean, you really have to, it's like playing chess in a way. You're looking ahead.
Sure.
If I make this move, what are my moves down the board?
Yeah, and it's a great point, and that brings me back to Gronk and Jordan Reed on the scale, that like where you are taking a Rob Gronkowski and where you are taking a Jordan Reed, which is about the third round, give or take, you need this person to show up. You don't have the ability, in my opinion, like you do with a Keenan Allen or you do with the Sammy Watkins in the same spot when you already have two wide receivers. You don't have the ability to come back from, to bounce back from that so easily. It's managing risk along with managing expectations.
Yeah, and you know, you if you're playing fantasy football, fantasy baseball, you want to have fun, yes. But you also want to win. You're somewhat of a competitive person. If you're going to put the time in, if you're doing it, you know, with your friends and home at the office, you know, you want to be able to come in Monday morning or Tuesday, whatever, and say, you know what, I whooped you and all that
right, of course.
Good stuff and fun. So, you know, it's just put a little time. You know, find the person that you like to. If it's Jake Seeley, if it's Corey Parson, Greg Suss, whoever it is, Tony Cincata, you know, find who you're comfortable with. See, and, you know, look at your stuff too. Try and just give yourself one little rundown and compare it to what the guy you like.
We can do that later on in the summer, and I feel very passionately about rankings and doing it yourself and ignoring all of us because that is the most important thing ever to me. And again, we can talk about that later in the summer in like a rankings type format. Two more names I want to get to here on the injury scale. We talk about the big names, okay? The Gronks, the Watkins, the Allens, whoever's. Those are big names where we've kind of gone over when the right scenario presents itself to draft them. Well, what about guys that you're going to take later anyway, right? Like the Kevin Whites and the Josh Doctsons of the world. Guys that missed significant time over the past 2 years for White last year, for Doctson. Where you are taking these guys, which aren't high, I realize that and I recognize it, but are you less apt to take chances on those guys because, listen, they have injury histories and maybe I'll take a shot somewhere else with a different guy that doesn't? Or are you more apt because they have monster amounts of potential, they just haven't been able to show it yet? Where are you on those type of injury players or injured players?
I'm going to look at the guys that, if they have the potential, and if they have the potential, the pedigree, and the opportunity. So PPO, if you want to say.
Okay.
Those are guys I'm still going to be interested. I'm going to throw a dart on them later on. Which Kevin White, you know, if Mike Glennon's good enough to, you know, be the quarterback there, they got Cam Meredith, and he's the other receiver, the opportunity's there. There's targets available to him. And if I mean, this is a guy they spent, the seventh overall pick on, I believe. So, and Breshad Perriman wasn't a guy that I was targeting, but I know a lot of people were on him. So now he becomes somebody you can speculate on late. You can throw the dart if it doesn't work out. But those guys, injured or not, if I'm going to take the pedigree guys with the opportunity.
Okay. Now, will you, given what you're saying about Kevin White, like this opportunity that it could go right, are you going to be like out looking to go get a Kevin White or a Josh Doctson?
Not that I'm going to go out looking or reaching on. The guys that I'm really going to like is like Jamal Williams, a guy that, say I don't have Ty Montgomery or I have no affiliation with the Packers, but I like the situation.
Right.
The Sam Piron. Right. I like the situation. Just think of like Jordan Howard last year. You know, how it took maybe a month or so, But the opportunity presented itself, and he took off running. And, you know, he helped win championships.
There's no question about it. I look at there's certain guys I target. Jamal Williams, like, clearly at this point, Sam Perine are guys that you could be into. But I guess when it comes to the injuries, and I hate it as a case by case basis. Yes, I recognize that it's a case by case basis. But there's certain guys that simply just way too heavily on that scale for me to even consider.
Yeah, but as you get later in the draft, and even if, like you say, they're on the back end and they're weighing down the scale, it's less of a risk for you. You know what I'm saying? The 13th round, sure. Why not?
Right, you know, right, of course.
You're going to take them. Even if you're taking the handcuff, that isn't really good. You know, wouldn't you rather have that sixth receiver who could possibly...
Well, that's what we talked about a little while ago. Is it you taking the handcuff, or are you taking the high upside wide receiver? Are you taking the handcuffs, or are you taking the Greg Jennings wide receiver? Like, that's what we talked about, kind of rounding out the draft later on. I think that that's not roster construction. I think that is just playing smarter.
Yeah, no, I mean, at some point, you got to abandon the roster construction, and you got to take some shots late.
Absolutely. When we come back, mano a mano. Champ versus challenger. I just died because he shot me. Matt Modica, Greg Sussman, is Mike lying? We do it next. Hanging out, Roto Experts in the Morning, Friday edition. It's a happy Friday. And it's that time of the week again, because we bring in my co-host, the Fantasy Best Friends Forever, and thus my best friend, Michael Florio. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Greggy.
How you doing, bud?
I'm good. How are you?
You've been to 2 Met games this week. Neither have worked out properly.
No, they got blown out in both. It sucks.
I feel like I told you this was going to happen. You were very optimistic.
They were playing. It wasn't a bad game until like the fourth inning. And then it just got away from them.
What the hell?
Yep.
Yeah, what the hell in a bucket fest.
Now, we have you up in studio today, playing referee between Matt and myself, trying to make sure I don't get shot. Yes. He has an old-fashioned duel. You have your phone out here with the questions.
Yes.
And this is a very different game, 101. This is how the original game was incarnated. Adam Ronis versus Scott Angle, 101. It's a different game, different strategy involved.
I don't think that was a fair matchup.
Wow. All right, already talking crap with the guys that aren't here. All right, here we go.
You guys ready? Or
I am the champ, so I get to determine who goes first, and it will be me that goes first. It will be I will go first.
Okay,
I will go first. So let's hit the music and away we go.
Number one, over the past 30 days, Luis Severino has the lowest ERA amongst qualified starters.
All right, Luis Severino, lowest ERA and quality starters. Very, very good. Well, the past couple months. 30 days, rather. That was the question, obviously. I knew that. he's been great. Oh, false, though.
I'm going to say false as well.
It is false.
Okay.
You going to take a guess as who it is?
I don't know how many people are ahead of him. You didn't tell me.
Oh, sorry. Two.
How was I supposed to know that? Thank you. All right. Two people are ahead of him. I feel like Matt definitely knows both of them.
I think I have one good guess.
He's very confident.
One good guess. I don't know if it's going to be right, but one good guess.
He's been really good. I mean, I have one name that is... I don't feel good about it, to be honest with you. We have more time to talk it out now, because it's just two of us here. I'll go Chris Sale.
Is it Chase Anderson?
No. I'm sorry.
He's been good. He's been good.
One is an outlandish guy, and one will make sense. Okay. I'll give you guys that.
We'll do one more guess a person here. Two names, right? All right. Chase Anderson's not correct, thank God. One is good, one is outlandish, right? That was the clue you gave?
Yeah, those are the clues.
Could it be him? This would be crazy. I'm going to say it. He's my player. I started last night. Jeff Hoffman.
No.
I'm going to go with the outlandish guy.
So I did too.
This is the fun one.
CC Sabathia.
Boom.
That's annoying.
Greg is not happy. Greg, can you keep score for me?
Why are you kidding me?
Normally I have stuff, but I don't have my
phone
today.
You're not organized today.
So CeCe is number two, Matt, in that span. Yeah. Severino, 1.35 ERA.
Right.
CeCe, 1.21 ERA.
Right.
Do you want the leader?
Yeah.
Robbie Ray, 0.35 ERA during this stretch.
Damn, I want to look up. I can't do it now.
I should have.
Can I look up Jeff Hoffman's ERA? Is that possible? Am I allowed to do that?
Yeah, sure.
All right, cool. So I have to look at the last 30 days, correct?
Yeah. Do you want me to pull up the 30-day leaderboard for you?
No, you don't have to pull. I mean, if you have it up there, I don't want to bother you in any way. Last 30 days, I have it right here. Jeff Hoffman's ERA, 1.42. I was close, man. 1.42, that's pretty good.
Yeah, you just missed.
Did I?
What was Chase Anderson? Well, let's get on with the show. Let's get on with the show.
Well, I'll look up Chase Anderson. This is fun. Chase Anderson, over the last 30 days, just for fun, Chase Anderson's ERA, see, this is very easy to do, 2.83.
Yeah.
2.83. Okay, question number two.
David Johnson was the only running back with more than 10 red zone targets.
False.
I'll say false.
It is false.
Okay.
Three players had more. Three running backs had 10 or more. More than 10, I'm sorry.
Red zone
targets.
Red zone targets, right. Okay, Matt, obviously the first guess is yours, sir.
Devonta Freeman.
No. Not a bad guess,
he
though.
He was hurt, but theoretic?
He was number one amongst all running backs with 14.
Okay. Very nice. So there's one. Do it again. There's three answers. We'll go again.
Two more on the board. David Johnson at 13, by the way.
Okay.
Le'Veon Bell?
No.
Wow.
Surprisingly.
That was my next guess for sure. Red zone targets. Who caught? Oh, it's crazy. We just did running back targets on yesterday's show, and now I'm sitting here trying to remember them. Oh, could that be? No way. That'd be interesting. That'd be crazy. TJ Yeldon.
No. I always want to know, was that the one that you thought would be crazy?
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought TJ Yeldon would be crazy.
You going again or you want the answer?
It's not for the answer. We need two apiece. It's fine.
Darren Sproles with 13?
Makes sense.
Bilal Powell with 11.
That was gettable, too. We are tied at three apiece through two questions. Question number three.
Over the past 30 days, Jose Berrios has the lowest hard hit rate amongst qualified starters.
True.
I'm going to say true as well.
False.
Ooh.
Two pitchers have lower.
Hard hit rate.
And I'll just preference it by saying I'll be impressed if you guys get this.
Okay. Lower hard hit rate.
In the past 30 days.
In the past 30 days. So it's probably Tyler Chatwood.
Nope.
Okay.
I'm telling you, I'm going to be impressed.
Jason Vargas.
No.
I thought I was just naming random people here, dude. All right, well, we'll do one more guess each because we've been doing two apiece here. Lower hard hit rate over the last 30 days. I'm just going to try to think of random pitchers that have like had a good start at some point in their life. Ask me, like, I can't even say anybody like remotely good, I feel like, because then it's like there's no point of it.
I mean, I'm just saying these are not names that come to mind. That's all.
That's all you'll say.
Matt doesn't want me to talk anymore.
Yeah, let's go. Ty
Black.
No. Not a bad guess, though. His hard hit rate on the year is very low.
Gio Gonzalez?
No, after last night, I'm surprised, but no.
All right, who is it?
Jaime Garcia?
Okay. That was gettable.
Very well.
That was gettable.
He's pitched very well.
It's not a name that comes to mind at all. And Brandon McCarthy.
No, Jaime Garcia was gettable, though. All right, question number four.
According to UberFacts, PlayStation 4 has to be repaired for roach infestation more than any other gaming console.
Is me first?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to say true.
Yeah, it sounds true.
Yeah, apparently it's very friendly home for roaches.
Four questions in, 4 points apiece for Matt and myself. Question number five.
Over the past 30 days, it's a theme.
I noticed.
Sean Manaea leads all qualified pitchers in swinging strike rate.
False.
True.
Damn.
Point for Matt.
Yeah, I saw that going. He was so confident.
16.1%. Just ahead of Chris Sale.
All right. You're damn confident there. That
you knew that one for sure?
I didn't know for sure, he but was I, know highly confident. I know his swing strike had to be pretty high.
All right, question number six.
Todd Gurley had at least 15 touches in every single game last year.
That's yours, my friend.
Oh, this is mine? False.
False. He didn't play every single game last year.
Well, every game that he played, I should
say. Oh, he didn't qualify that.
Okay, so you could go again. Every game that he did play every...
No. I'll stick with false.
Every game that he played.
He's confident, I'll say false.
It is false. He did it. He failed to do so just once, where he had 13 touches against the Patriots.
All right. Wow. Okay, so that's a point each. There's no extra points given in that one.
So is it like 6-5 or something?
It's 6-5 you, sir. As we had... To question number 7.
You're first?
I'm first.
Over the past 30 days, Aaron Judge leads qualified hitters in hard hit percent.
He hits the ball so damn hard. It's probably false. It feels true. I'll say false.
Yeah, I'm going to go false.
It's false. Three hitters have a higher hard hit rate over the past 30 days.
Miguel Sano.
That was my guy.
No.
No!
Good. I was going to go with that.
Oh, I hate to see that.
Gary Sanchez?
No.
Okay.
Both good guesses.
I'd like to think so.
I got one guy made.
I'll just go the other obvious one. Giancarlo Stanton.
Nope.
Damn.
Mike Moustakas.
No.
All right, those are two guesses apiece. That's it.
J.D. Martinez is one at 57.4%. Aaron Judge is at 49.3%, by the way. Alex Avila, 56.5%.
Never getting that.
And Matt, Lucas Duda, 53.6%.
Duda!
Louie.
Louie, all right.
Doing his thing.
All right. Question number 8.
According to UberFacts, Montana is the only state where it is legal to drive while drinking an alcoholic beverage.
Oh, that's nice. You're up first, Matt.
True.
False. I'll take my shot on the Uber fact.
It is false.
Yeah!
There's one other state. Do you guys want to guess the state?
Right. You can guess the state, sure.
One other state.
Huh? 1 out of 50 shot you guys got here.
Alaska.
No.
I was going to say Alaska, too. I don't know. Maybe it was in your old state of Hawaii.
Nope. You lived in Hawaii?
For about 14 months.
Wow. That must have been awesome.
All right, hold on. I'm shutting down the guesses next. We have no idea. We're just randomly guessing states. I don't want anyone to get extra points from that, myself included.
If Mississippi.
I would not guess Mississippi. I would have guessed like North Dakota, to be honest with you.
I just honestly changed it to another state with the name.
So in Montana, you can't drive an alcoholic beverage.
In Mississippi, you can, though. If you're ever driving the country and you get to Mississippi... You could open up a beer.
Pop one open?
I would have figured Montana. It's like, sounds like yeah, God's sense. Country. You know, anyway,
you know what? I took a shot because I thought there's either 0 states you could do it in or like 2. Or like, whatever. So I took my shot. We're tied at 7. Going to the final 2 questions. You have to see how this one ends up. Roto Experts in the Morning wraps up and sends you into the old school fantasy. Next, when we come back, Corey Parson will be in the house. Mike Flory, you're hanging out with us. Stick around. Roto Experts in the Morning wraps up right after this. We are tied, 8 apiece, 2 questions left, or 7 apiece, 2 questions left, and we had the question number 9.
Of quarterbacks with more than 10 attempts, I like this.
It was nice.
Sam Bradford had the highest completion percentage in the red zone.
True.
I don't know if it's the red zone, but I believe he's one of the most accurate guys.
Yeah.
In the red zone, this is false.
Ooh. I was real quick there too.
3 quarterbacks had higher. I'm pretty sure he led the league in completion.
That's why. That's why
he
I said
set
true.
The record.
Yeah, I thought so too. That's why I immediately said true. I remember hearing that.
He's still efficient in the red zone, but 3 quarterbacks were better.
TFB. That's Tom effing Brady.
Tom Brady is 1.
Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers is not 1.
Oh man, this is a big. We're going 2. This is big. I can get this one. All right, efficiency. in the red zone.
Completion percentage.
Yes, that's efficient. It's being efficient. Yep. Mike Florio, unbelievable, this guy.
Just letting you know, I don't want to be told it was the wrong stat.
Don't be giving any hints here.
No hints.
He didn't say anything. Well, I don't know. This is such a stupid name that comes to my mind. But I want to say.
I got a stupid name.
I have such a stupid name. I feel like, should I say the stupid name or the smarter name? Any answers? No? All right.
I can't help you.
All right, I'm gonna go with a smarter name. I'll go with Drew Brees.
Greg is 2 for 2.
I should have been Brees instead of Rodgers.
There is now a stupid name out there, though.
I'm gonna say Dak Prescott.
I'm sorry, man.
My third answer is gonna be Andy Dalton. Oh, thank God, I went with Drew Brees.
Nope.
What was the last
it
one?
It is Ryan Tannehill.
Wow, that is a stupid name. Greg is up 9-7. Heading to question 10.
That's big. That
That's
was
a big get. Two guesses there.
No team averages more yards per carry than the Dallas Cowboys.
False.
I'll say false.
False. Two
Damn.
Teams.
I was hoping it was true.
Two teams are higher.
Buffalo Bills.
That is one.
Oh my God. I get this right, I win.
They led the league 5.3 yards per carry.
I was just saying the Bills, too. But I get this right, I win. If not, it goes back to Matt for a shot. Yards per carry we're looking for? Ugh, I have...
Yep.
I got to say the first thing that came to my mind, right? That's what you got to do. Tennessee Titans.
Matt.
Oh, my God.
You could tie it right here.
Oh, my God. Here
Pittsburgh
we go.
Pittsburgh Steelers?
No.
Yeah!
Was it... Who's
that one about
Pittsburgh?
I got another guess for the record.
I was going to say, I think I can give you guys a few guesses.
I got another guess for the record. It's over. It's over. We'll make it very, very clear. It's over. yards per carry we're talking about. The Falcons.
Nope.
All right.
The Cleveland Browns.
Wow.
4.8 yards per carry. I'm sorry, 4.9. The Cowboys had 4.8.
Which means you're winner and still... Is Mike Lyon champion of the mono-y-mono matchup? It's me.
You won last week, too?
Sure did.
That was a thriller.
Last week was a thriller. It was
we had to carry into old school.
Carry into old school last week.
We will drink some Earl Grey tea after the show.
Matt Modigo, what's coming up next on Old School Fantasy?
I got to shake off this loss. I'm a little beaten and bewildered right now, but job well done.
I appreciate it, sir.
Corey Parsons, I think it's some wonderful stuff. I'm going to tease that for you.
You tease that. Corey Parsons will be in here for the Old School Fantasy Hour with George Kurtz. The OG is a Friday edition of the program. I know Corey wanted to break down some beef about rankings and stuff, so we'll get into that coming up next hour. Mike Florio, what's coming up on the BFFs today?
Friday, we usually do prospects and waivers, and there's a lot of prospects to talk about right now.
There are. We also want to talk about the Chicago Bears, so we get an opportunity to do it yesterday.
Yes.
That's right. For Matt Modica and Michael Florio, I am Greg Sussman. Corey Parson, Matt Modica, and George Kurtz are up next for Old School Fantasy. Have a fantastic Friday. Have a fantastic weekend. Happy Father's Day. Those that are listening, use code DAD, Roto Experts exclusive edge package, 25% off. Enjoy your weekend, everybody. We'll see you back here Monday morning at 8 a.m. Bye-bye.